All right, welcome to another episode of the Perfect Franchise Podcast, where we talk shop with industry insiders, and we attempt to extract best practices from some of the most successful and highest performing professionals in our industry. I'm Chris Simonich, my co-host is Andrea Floyd, and today we have a very special guest. We have Mark Schnurman, founder of The Perfect Franchise. Welcome, Mark.
Great to be here. I love the fact that you guys decided to do a podcast. I think that's wonderful.
Well, you know, great minds. Andrea, I'm going to let you take it away from
here. Yeah, sure. So Mark, thanks. I mean, I think our first question starting right out is, you know, you've worked for several consulting organizations. Why did you start The Perfect Franchise?
Well, I think there are really two reasons. The first one is I couldn't stick at any other consulting firm, so needed to figure that part out. But ultimately, the reason I couldn't stick at the different firms is there were built-in challenges in the model for franchisors, for franchise consultants, and most importantly, for potential franchisees. And so thought about how to solve for those challenges.
That's great. That's great. Thanks for that.
So, Mark, let's start with clients. You'd mentioned, you know, solving for clients. So, you know, what I'd want to know is, and maybe we need to back up, what is the typical client experience before The Perfect Franchise, and how have you solved for it?
Yeah, so the challenge is, like, when I first came into the franchise business, I worked at a consulting firm. I paid them a lot of money to join them, and they didn't teach me the business. They were agnostic on brands, and I ultimately didn't have a process and or enough knowledge to ensure that my clients had great outcomes. Now, the positive thing about that is I was an abject failure, and I didn't have a placement for the first 8 or 9 months. So by the time I actually understood how to work with clients and what the good brands were, was when I started having placements. So I didn't do damage, but those are huge issues, right? If you start at the top of the funnel and the brands that you're presenting to the clients aren't great, no matter how good that candidate is, they're going to struggle. If the consultant is not well trained enough to understand what fit looks like in franchising and what the skill set is and things of that sort, you're going to really struggle with the client outcomes. And client outcomes ultimately are the most important thing in this business, right? Because I tell people all day long, if you join a franchise, it is going to have no impact on my life. Yes, I receive a small commission, but it's not going to change my life. But if you join a franchise, leave a job, invest a lot of money, and you fail, it will change your life. If you succeed, it will change your life. So it's you know, there's a really important piece here is that, you know, the different franchise consulting firms that I was at, they said, you know, the franchise brands are our clients and the franchise brands are our partners. The potential franchisee is our client and we owe them a fiduciary responsibility of trust and care, et cetera. And I think that is vital. And I think it flips the way the business is and the way other people work on its head.
So do you find that, is there a tangible difference between the actual process that a client goes through with The Perfect Franchise as opposed to with others?
Yeah, I think there is. Couple of things. So all of our consultants, for the most part, are using the same process. They're tweaking it a little bit to their own personalities and styles because they have to be authentic. But yeah, the big piece is we talk internally in The Perfect Franchise about 15 consultants, and we're always talking to each other about what the right brands are. So that helps us, you know, make sure we're calibrating it. But once we're working with our clients, it's a very clear process that we take our clients through. And most important, we need to learn about them and educate them at the same time. And we bring them through a due diligence process. So my book is The Perfect Franchise. And, you know, my wife was the one that came up with the genius name for it and then ultimately became the name of the company. But you know, one of the things that we talk about is how to conduct a proper due diligence. So not only do we guide our clients through it, but we give them six factors that are really critical to learn about. And that's a huge difference, because a lot of franchise consultants and franchise consulting firms just say, hey, let them figure it out on their own. And they can't, because they don't know enough about it. They don't have the context around franchising to understand, assimilate, analyze. And so giving them that process around due diligence, I think, is tremendously important. And ours is incredibly well thought out. And we share both verbally with our clients, but also in writing, in the book. They have it in front of them. So it enables them to conduct a due diligence at a level that isn't really taught in the industry or isn't used in the industry.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to ask you, and then we can move on to talking about the brands we work with and how we help there. But, you know, the idea is the perfect franchise is helping match clients to the best brands for them. So you do that. You introduce brands to the client. They say, those sound interesting. What happens at? Are you done? Or what value are you adding after the initial match?
Yeah. So, you know, these six factors are things that we're constantly calibrating our clients with. And so when, you know, every week we'll talk to our clients once they start talking to the brands, and we'll say, okay, what do you like about that brand? What might be a challenge? What additional information do you need? And it's our job in franchising, they call it frickin' frack. And that's going back and forth with the franchisor. It's our job to tell the franchisor, hey, listen, the client needs to understand this, because they don't understand it. It's our job to ensure that our clients get all the right information, that they're understanding it correctly and looking at it in the context of franchising. Because franchising is different than the rest of the world. Because if I told you, hey, you can run a business with a $40,000 manager and a bunch of 16, 17-year-olds and do a few million dollars a year in revenue, you would say, really? No way. But that's McDonald's. So yep. It's helping our clients understand it in the context of franchising.
Got it. Yeah. So in other words, go ahead, Andrea.
No, go ahead. No.
No, I was going to say, just to kind of sum that up, you're helping them kind of navigate all the micro decisions that need to be made to eventually lead to that big ultimate decision, right?
I think that's right. And it's also playing things back to them. So when somebody tells me they have 20 hours a week to do a business on a semi-absentee basis, and, you know, every week they're canceling the appointment because their kids or their business, their job, whatever it might be, is getting in the way. Then it's, as opposed to letting them go and making the wrong decision, it's, hey, Chris, you know what? I'm not sure that you have the time that you think. And here's why. I'm asking for 3 or 5 hours a week during the due diligence process, and you're struggling to do that. How are you going to do the 15, 20 hours a week? And it's helping them be honest with themselves and sort of being a mirror to what we're hearing. So I think that's critical, because telling a client not to move forward is a gift to that client. And that's something that we pride ourselves on.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think, you know, making sure you have those best outcomes for the clients is key. And I think the other big piece that you've mentioned, I think the second piece was making sure we have the best brands in our portfolio, brands that can help our clients achieve at a higher success rate. Mark, how do you sort of define what's a best brand?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a moving target. But sort of three things that we take really to heart. First one is ROI, return on investment. If it's going to take a client 10 years to get a return on their investment, not a good investment. So we want brands that the economics make sense, number one. Second thing that we look at is simplicity. And it's not simplicity in an absolute sense. It's simplicity in a relative sense. There are some sectors in franchising which are going to be more complex than others. But we're looking for the simplest brands, the simplest models. And the reason is, if a model is simple, it's easier to execute. It's easier to understand. It's easier to get to a high performance level and optimize, you know, maximize the total performance. And then the last thing we look at is validation. So in franchising, validation is when you're talking to franchisees in the system. And we, you know, if a brand has the franchisee saying really good things, that's wonderful because that speaks to the health of the system. It speaks to the leadership team, the marketing efforts, the processes and systems that are in place. And the way we really manage that is the 15 consultants. We have a couple of meetings, 3 meetings actually a week, and we're always sharing back and forth. I heard this. This is what my clients are saying. And we take a cautious approach with new brands. So generally what will happen is when we have a new brand, 3, maybe 4 consultants will show a brand and then we will wait to hear what the feedback is. And we have very candid conversations with the franchisors also about what we're hearing and, you know, talk to us, because just because a client hears something doesn't mean it's real. But we're always doing the research, trying to understand as much we can. And we have brands rated a little different than other consulting firms. Other consulting firms, they're all just sort of in the portfolio and figure it out. We're not. We have brands rated at different levels. And those ratings change every week. Not every brand's changing every week, but every week we're changing 2 or 3 brand ratings. Some get better and some get worse based on the feedback. And then the last thing I would say is it's interesting because a brand 2 years ago that may not have validated well may validate awesome today. So we're always reassessing. It's not that we put any brand in a box and we never look at it again. I think that's an important distinction and understanding.
What sort of moves that brand out of that box and back to a higher level?
So it can be just the economics get better. It could be the item 19 has changed, but it's mostly when we place a client in it, we hear from the client's experience, or when we have a few clients validating with that brand and they're saying, look, you know, I'm speaking to 3 brands and the franchisee of XYZ brands are so excited and so happy. And all of them would say they would do it again. And it's exceeded all of their expectations. So it's really driven in large part by the feedback that we're hearing from the people who are franchisees currently in those businesses and how we share it with ourselves at The Perfect Franchise.
You know, there's a lot of brands out there and a lot of consultants say, hey, I have thousands of brands in my portfolio. Is that the same thing at The Perfect Franchise? You have thousands?
It's not. Bigger is not better when it comes to franchise portfolios.
Yeah.
Bigger is significantly worse. And the reason is the more brands you have, if you don't really narrow it down to the good ones, senior care, painting, there are scores of senior care brands. There are scores of painting brands. And guess what? They're not all created equal. And if you don't focus your clients on the 2, 3, 4, 5 that in any category are the best, and some there's only one, right? We have certain categories where we believe there's one brand that is so much better than everybody else. And if it's not available, we're not going to show it. And we're not going to show that sector. And so it's bigger at portfolio and more brands is not better. Having a focused portfolio that covers every sort of persona of a potential franchisee, every avatar that could happen, that's really what you're looking for.
Yeah. And I mean, clients will come in sometimes and say, hey, I heard of this brand in this particular sector. Do you have that? How do you sort of answer that if it's not one of your top brands?
No. And here's why. Because we have these and we believe these are better. And here's why we believe these are better. It's really important. And this is one of the things, and Chris, this goes back to a question you asked earlier, you know, the how do you interact with your clients around this? Our process is clear. These are the brands we work with, and we're very intentional about it, and we choose them for a reason. So when we deviate from that, we significantly increase our clients' chances of having a negative and a suboptimal outcome. And that's precisely what we're structured not to do. So we stick to the process. We stick to our brands.
Yeah, that's great. So we talked a little bit about clients. We talked a little bit about brands. What was that last one, Chris?
Yeah, so clients, brands, and now we need to talk about the third improvement in outcomes, which is consultants. So How is the Perfect Franchise training and supporting consultants in a way that you haven't seen in the industry so far? How do you do that?
Yeah, so a few things. There are a few challenges with the franchise consultant company model. And the first one is not everybody should be, just like not everyone should be a franchisee, not everybody should be a franchise consultant. And franchise consulting companies will bring almost anybody in because they pay an amount of money up front, and that's how they make their money in large part. So we don't do that. Anybody who's a franchise consultant, I have to, and the rest of the team has to believe, has a really incredibly high chance of being successful. They have to have the interpersonal skills, the ability to communicate at a high level, incredibly high level of ethics, in order to be invited to join the team. And if they don't have that, we don't invite them in. And they don't pay to join the team. They pay when they succeed. And that's a different model that most firms do not have. So we're vested in their success. So as opposed to when I came into the business, you know, I had a week of training, which was 3 hours a day for 5 days. So probably 15, 18 hours worth of total training. And I knew nothing. And we spend a lot of time. I personally spend a lot of time with new consultants. We have the three training sessions, 3 hours worth of training a week. It's really important. I get on calls with them one-on-one. They listen into my consults and other consultants' consults and brand presentations. And so it's a really learning environment and learning culture. So that's huge. And the last thing I would say is lead generation is the hardest part of this business. A lot of people can do okay if you can fill the top of the funnel. And that's what we do. We are endeavoring every day to do a better job to fill the top of the funnel. And I spend a tremendous amount of my time every week figuring out how we can do that better. But if you bring in the right people, you train and support them at a level that's higher than everybody else's. And that includes having a process that's best in class. And the lead generation is there. It's a recipe for success.
Yeah. I got a question for you, Mark, and it's not necessarily specifically to how you help consultants, but it's kind of wrapping everything we've talked about, clients, brands, and the consultants. A lot of times people will begin working with a consultant thinking, I'm working with that consultant because I want them to show me franchises I might like or franchises that have the things I want. Right? And that sounds reasonable. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. So here's what happens. When we follow our passions and we follow the sexy or the fatty brand, what winds up happening is we may not have the right skill set for that. And if we don't have the right skill set for that, we are setting ourselves up for failure, or our clients in this case, we're setting them up for failure. So it's a reframing, and it's having the courage to reframe it, even if it means you may lose a client, even if it means you may lose a placement. That's okay. Because again, not changing my life, but changing their life. And so it's having the conversation. Listen, I know that you like that. Here's what my concern is. I can introduce you to it, but as we go through the process, I am going to consistently ask you, are you sure you can do this? And so I think that's important. When I first came into the business, I had a client who came to me, and first conversation, he said, listen, I just got out of a franchise. I failed at it, and I want another franchise. I said, tell me about the first one. And he was a really introverted, reserved individual. And he said, I was a coach. I was in a coaching franchise. And I said, I'll tell you why you didn't succeed. He said, excuse me? I said, you couldn't fill the top of the funnel, but you'd probably be the best coach ever. He said, that was exactly it. I struggled going out, networking, reaching out even to people I knew to bring them into my business. And he said, how did you know that? That's what we do here. That's the difference, because our team isn't going to present that brand to the client. And if we present it, it's going to be under, you need to make sure that you can fill your pipeline, because if you can't, it doesn't matter. So that, I think, is a critical aspect of everything we do. It's always putting the client first, because if you put the client first, your business will be fabulous. This week, I received 2 referrals. It's a good week. Guess what? I received them from 2 people who are not moving forward with the franchise. But the quality of the process, not me, it's the quality of the process, they referred me and they felt comfortable enough referring me their clients. That speaks volumes about everything that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that Andrea and I are both thrilled to be part of the Perfect Franchise. We definitely believe that something very different is happening here. So before I turn it back to Andrea, I've got one more question. I'll shut up, Andrea. Is there anything we didn't cover today so far about the Perfect Franchise that you want to make sure we include before we end this?
The only thing I will say is, and you guys have heard me talk about this at meetings, that the quality of an organization comes from what I'll call the locker room. And it's not me, the manager. It doesn't come from me. It comes from the quality of the best people on the team. And from the number one performer, who may have been Chris in January, to the person who's just joining the team. It's just an incredible group of individuals who are smart, talented, motivated, have the right habits, have the right ethics. And it's just an incredible team. And my job is the easiest job in franchising, because all I have to do is give you guys a structure and you execute on it. So it's a privilege to work with you guys and the rest of the team.
Thank you for that. I think I'll add one more to that list, Mark. I would say collaboration. Like, don't you think, I mean, I think that's huge on the team. I mean, you're building a structure with a lot of collaboration. And I think that really supports all of those pieces, whether it's the brands, the clients, you know, or the consultants. I think it's benefiting all of us. You agree?
I know. I think that's right. But again, the collaboration doesn't come from me, right? Because I need to share, because I'm doing training and learning. But it comes from Andrea. Anybody who wants anything from you, you will give. Chris, anybody who wants anything, you will give. And that's something that doesn't happen in this business. I was at places where I tried to ask a question on the chat and they would take them down because they didn't like my questions. I would reach out to consultants and they would lie to me about what brands they were presenting just to throw me off. It was crazy how they sabotage. And by the way, it's not just me. Our industry is replete with examples of this, and it happens every day. And so the collaboration is huge. But again, it comes from the quality of the people that we have on our team.
No, that's great. I mean, Mark, we really do appreciate all your insight today. I think just, you know, letting our audience see, you know, what's different about the Perfect Franchise. I think just this kind of conversation deepens that understanding of franchising and what we're delivering at the Perfect Franchise. I know, I'm sure it's great for our listeners. It was Chris and I learned a lot just sitting in this today. And so for those of you listening, if you've considered franchising as a potential path to business ownership, remember, there's no one size fits all that's going to suit everybody. Really, it's finding the perfect franchise for you. And that's really where we're helping you. So to explore those options and find the perfect franchise match for you, visit theperfectfranchise.com. By clicking on Let's Talk, you can schedule time to talk to one of our consultants here at the Perfect Franchise team. We look forward to connecting with you again on the next episode. Until then, take care.